Okay, Abedavach, Shalom Aleichem. We are in Chavis Halavavis, Shar Avodas Elokim. We'll begin Perek Yud. We'll skip a little bit. We'll just recap, bring us up to where he's up to, and then move on to the next part of the discussion. So, what page is that in English? 340? Okay, Yashu Koyev. Okay. Chavetz Halevavos has really been bringing home these last few weeks. The understanding wants us to really appreciate our existence, and that is that we are not the body that we seem to be, that we see in the mirror. Each of us is really a neshama, a soul, which is something very, very immense, which is something eternal, which is something that will continue to live for all of eternity, and which will live with a much greater vitality, a much greater, if we'll call it, quality of life than the body at its best stages. The body is actually taking the soul, the way he called it, was the body is an office, kind of put the soul into this office, which actually also serves the purpose of dimming it, doesn't see things as clearly. And it's here in this world to serve Hashem, to withstand the challenges that the material world presents to the body, and to try to maintain through, again, if it was just the soul would see everything clearly. But to be in this body, to be able to still maintain that clear vision of a relationship with Hashem, awareness of Hashem, and also overcoming the challenges of the body in terms of perfecting our character, becoming disciplined servants of Hashem who are ready to overcome the urges, the physical urges, the urges of the body, the temptations of the body, the pulls of the body, in order to harness it all into a lifetime of dedicated service to Hashem. And as we said, the body is really just a temporary office. When the time comes, the office is shut down, and then you really begin life. You begin life as a soul. You begin really experiencing the real existence, and you enjoy the bliss of being close with Hashem for all of eternity. That's what we've been seeing in a nutshell over the last few weeks. Now, last week, he started developing the understanding that Hashem, when we're in this body, Hashem puts all kinds of things, equips the body with all kinds of things that are there for our role. And now he's going to put his focus on what we call the midas, the character traits. All of our character traits are part of, it's not mamish, the body, but it's part of our material existence. Some of these are weaknesses, others are strengths. Well, he's going to show now how all of our different traits, all of our different midas, we talk about good midas versus bad midas, right? Good mida, let's say compassion is a good mida. A bad mida is, let's say, anger. That's a bad mida. Let's use two examples. So he's going to go now into a very fundamental discussion, which is a famous concept that's discussed by many, that really that's a misnomer. There's no such thing as a mida that is completely good or a mida that's completely bad. It's all about, the word mida means a measure. It's all about using it in the right measure. Where do you place each mida? And therefore, really, when we say a good mida, let's say about compassion, we say a good mida, what that means, say something is a good trait, what that means is it should be used 95% of the time. That's what we mean when we say it's a good mida. When we say something is a bad mida, we mean this should only be used 3% of the time. If you're using it always, it's going to be bad news. Whereas this other mida, if you're using it on a regular basis, that'll be very good. But we have to understand that all of our character traits, even the ones that we may consider negative character traits, have their place. And also, equally important is to understand that even the ones that we consider good midas, we have to be able to control even them. We have to be able to know, when do we need to rein them in? Now is not the place for it. All this is part of being the disciplined soldier of Hashem. You see, the challenge for the Jew will be, by us, compassion is a natural midah, right? So the Jew might be tested with those particular circumstances, which are a very small minority of the time, when you're going to have to rein in your compassion. So let's see. Let's see how the Chovetz Halevavos discusses this subject. So we're going to begin the 10th parak. So Amar HaNefesh. Remember, this is again a dialogue between the Nefesh and the Seichel. Okay, I've understood everything you've been saying. Again, this is a dialogue between, this is the a discussion between the person and his own intellect, trying to consult with his own intellect to draw on the depths of his own mind in order to guide himself through life. So now, this is me saying to myself, okay, I understood all the perspectives you've been giving. Now I'm going to ask of you, explain to me, where are the places where should I be using my good midas? Where should I be using my bad midas? In a way that, if I use them in that way, Hashem will be happy with the way I'm doing it. I'll be praised for it, and I'll be acknowledged as having used my midas right. That's the point here. If you are using your midas according to the dictates of Torah, even the bad midas will become good midas. They will serve you in your avodas Hashem. If you're not following the dictates of the Torah, even the good midas can get you into trouble. So let's see. We're going to go through a tour of the various midas and see how this works. So Amar HaSeich. So the intellect says, Midoisayich Rabois. You have many midas. You have many character traits. Azkir lach mehem, mashen izdam en libiktsara. We'll give a brief review of them. Yeah, do you hear me now? Sorry.
Check the one. Yeah, we hear you now.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. So she's sitting and crying. Why? Because this girl had the birthday party of the year. Now she says, no, it showed in the advertisement that the balloon maker makes, besides making, he can make a flower vase out of balloons, he can make a cat, he can make a dog, he can make an elephant, he can make a donkey. He did all those things, except for the elephant. We had the cotton candy machine, we had the big chocolate waterfall, we had the magician, we had the balloon maker who made the horse, the lion, the flower pot, but he didn't make an elephant. The whole thing was stupid. Okay? Now, you've experienced this to some extent or the other, right? How are you going to react? You're going to be pretty upset, right? After all that effort, after everything you put into that party, you're going to be upset, right? What do you want? The kid's not happy. A natural reaction. Here we see that no, joy or sadness can also be a midah. Sometimes a person has to take note of what they have. And so it's simply a matter of menschlichkeit, of basic decency, to put a little thought into what are the blessings that I have before kvetching about the one thing that isn't in place. So, yes, simcha and grief are midas as well. They aren't from the midas that we are most in control of, but they're also midas, and we need to be aware of that too. So let's see how he goes in a bit of a different direction, just in terms of defining where each one has its place. But what I want to do is illustrate. He's giving examples. Let's first understand that, yes, these are midas. These are midas. What does he say? So he says as follows. The way to use simcha is joy. When you have achieved some pleasure, you've gotten something, that will last forever. Like this Alev Batuga. This is going to sound a little abstract meanwhile, but soon we'll put it into clear perspective, Bezos Hashem. Like this Alev Batuga. There will not be any sadness mixed into it. And nothing can ruin it. Meaning, an example of the prizes that kids get today, often the shekel prizes, it's often very sad. Kid comes home all excited. He has this airplane or something. And you already know as an experienced parent that its lifespan is 12 minutes, right? Now, the kid thinks that he has an airplane that he's going to treasure until his bar mitzvah, right? So sometimes you get a little too excited about something fleeting a little too quickly. So before you get too excited about something, know that it can never be taken away from you. It can never be marred. You'll have it forever. Hatire amida azois. Then really let this mida, unleash this mida. So what's he talking about? What's he talking about? What he's really trying to say is...
It can't be anything in this world.
Oh, good. Okay, good. I mean, what he's really trying to say is, you know, when is the place for real simcha, for real joy, is when you know that you've locked something away in the next world. Meaning as follows. I'll just give a simple example, but this is actually something to exercise. I remember one time we were learning in a Bismedrish in New York. Next door, there was an old Hasidish Rav. He was called the Tanker Rav on Ocean Parkway. You know him? Oh, wow. Okay, we're in the same area. Next door to Mikdash Melech, right?
My brother used to go, like, putting the maximum at one of my brothers.
Ah, okay. So he was an old man at the time. At the time, he was probably in his upper 80s. We learned in the Beis Medrash next door, Mikdash Melach on Ocean Parkway. And one time somebody came in and said, for whatever reason, he hadn't managed to do Kiddush Levana at the right time. It was a couple of days late. And he was looking for a minion for Kiddush Levana. Would we come out and join a minion for Kiddush Levana for the Tanker Rav? Besimcha. We came out. And we didn't realize Kiddush Levana, you go to a Litvish Shul. Kiddush Levana is a business of 3 minutes with a dance afterwards that looks like a solemn march. Yeah. Right? So, you know, kind of join hands, serious faces, march around once in a circle, and then you go home. So, okay, we came afterwards. The truth is, in America, I wasn't even used to that solemn dance. No. Kiddush Levana, and you went home. So first of all, okay, we joined hands and we danced afterwards. That was already Kiddush for me. But then, it didn't end there. Everybody has to come into his house now. Cake, l'chaim. So the truth is that at the time, it was interesting. It was also, I appreciated the chance to sit with him at the table. This was a very, a person with a presence, a person who I didn't know him, but familiar with the old Tanker Rav. So, oh, okay. So, but afterwards, you know what I came to appreciate that this is actually, okay, you know, I'm a Litvish discovering America, but you know, this is actually a derech in Avodas Hashem, which is something that we, as non-Hasidim, can learn from. And that is Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana is a mitzvah, we call it from the, you know, isn't the right thing to say. I'm going to say it by first prefacing that this is not the right way to say it. It's not from the greatest mitzvahs there are out there. Now, I can only say that after I said that you can't really say that. Every mitzvah is from the greatest mitzvahs that there are out there, right? But if we're talking about the Isis, if we're talking about tefillin, we're talking about Shabbos, we're talking about Kriya Shema, right? Okay, so you understand what I mean. You're not going to get me wrong. But you know what happened here? This person just locked away. He just nailed in another mitzvah. That's reason to celebrate. That's reason to celebrate. And you know what? That's something that we should learn to exercise. I don't know if you can necessarily put out cake and have a l'chaim after each mitzvah that you do. But you should in your mind. You should in your mind. So that there are many great people, right? At the end of the Seder, at the end of the Leil HaSeder on Pesach, they'll get up and do a dance. Other such situations. And you know what? We make a Suda after a Bris Milah. We make a Bris Milah, we make a Suda, celebrating the fact that we had a chance to earn this precious mitzvah also. But you know what? You do it even in simpler cases, to do it mentally, to take a little bit of time, I mean a minute, even a minute is generous, but it'll be very valuable. If after you give a shekel to tzedakah, offhandedly, you're on the street, it's not like you sat down, went through your cheshbonos and wrote out a check for a shekel, right? You're on the street, it was someone collecting money, you gave a shekel to tzedakah, think for a half a minute, I just achieved something now, that it was worth coming into this world for a full lifetime in order to have that opportunity. Hashem gives us many more opportunities, so we become spoiled. And okay, you do mitzvahs, kind of part of the daily grind. But the truth is to be able to appreciate, I just earned eternity.
Is that in reverse of what a lot of people more like the Hasidim before the mitzvah, they'll say, instead of just giving it tzedakah at like this out of the blue, they'll say that pasuk in their minds that they're doing the actual bad mitzvah.
Good.
They say hinei or harei, you know, like you do before the mitzvah, and then it puts them in the mindset. Oh wow, I just got a mitzvah.
Oh, so asking the question, where does this fit in with the idea of making the statement beforehand?
Also afterwards, like making the l'chaim, doing it beforehand, and also reminds you, oh wait, now I'm doing the mitzvah, I'm getting the amount.
So I would call it two different inyanim. And the question is, how does this fit in with the concept of before doing a mitzvah, to make a statement, right? There are statements you can make. You say, v'hi noyam, you say, l'shem mitzvahs, okay? So we'll call it two different things, but the truth is you're raising a very good point. The idea before the mitzvah is a little bit different. It's obviously all going in the same direction, but it's a little bit different. The idea before the mitzvah is, don't roll into a mitzvah automatically. By putting a little bit more thought and feeling into the mitzvah, you are enhancing its value greatly. And therefore, catch yourself for a minute. Catch yourself for a minute and say, I'm about to do a mitzvah now. Let me really want to do it. Let me do it excitedly, right? And that way, you're actually putting greater value into the mitzvah. What we're talking about now, I might call it a little bit of a separate point, and that is to celebrate the fact that you got it. You know what? It is revolving around the same point. It's appreciation of what you're about to do, of what you did do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you can do both, hinei matoiv.
Like you say, how much are your mitzvahs worth? How much you value them?
That's right, that's right. So you, and it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's a little bit of focus, Taka, like you're saying. So if we're talking about the half a minute afterwards, let's add the half a minute before. It doesn't take that much longer. But you give a moment of thought. The Pesach Hashem makes a big deal about that, not to just roll into mitzvahs. He talks about doing things lishma and shaloi lishma, right? For the right purpose, for the wrong purpose. We think of a mitzvah that's not done lishma. A person does a mitzvah for an ulterior motive. Pesach Hashem says, no, forget ulterior motives. Person can often just do a mitzvah with no motive, right? Yeah, give it a minute beforehand. You're about to do some mitzvah, whatever it is, right? A moment beforehand of appreciating what you're about to do, and that way you give it more value. And then also a moment afterwards to pat yourself on the back, to appreciate what you've accomplished, and to celebrate the fact that you have now earned something that, like the Chavos HaLevavot says here, it can never be taken away from you. It is going to bring you eternal happiness. Whereas, he's also telling us, don't ever get too excited about anything material. Just to give one example, right, from a couple of parshiyos ago. The Jewish people said, money is getting boring. The money is getting boring. We want more exciting food. We want more exciting food. So what happened? Hashem, I don't know if every last Jew realized this at the time, but he kind of responded by, you know, okay, so he took the cookie jar and threw it at them. You want this? Here, take this, right? He gave them the slav, right? Gave them the quail. Now, you have, I don't know exactly who knew what was really going on. Moshe, as soon as he saw the quail coming, he said, this is bad news. This is not going to end good. But you had your average Jew who had been kvetching beforehand. We only have mon. We're bored of the mon. All of a sudden, the quail comes. Great, we're going to have a barbecue tonight. And they started gathering quail. They got very excited about it. And they dug in. And then the tragedy hit, right? Hashem considered the request inappropriate. And it wasn't for their good. So Mishlam makes this point, and this is what the Chavos HaLevavos is getting hit here at here too. Don't get too excited about anything material because you never really know where it's leading. Kennedy thought that becoming the president was the best thing that ever happened to him, right? So don't get too excited because do you really know? Is this going to be something that's going to be happiness forever? Maybe it'll turn into a bigger problem than you realized soon enough. So you know what? Yeah, I'll give an eitzah of the shla. So basically with the Chavos HaLevavos, if we'll just stop with the Chavos HaLevavos, what we'll say is the time to unleash simcha is when you know you have a mitzvah under your belt, you've locked it in, that's something that can never be taken away from you. You know that now you've enhanced your existence forever. That's the time to unleash simcha. So is there ever room for simcha in material matters? So the Shla says, you can. Any material benefit that you get, you can quickly turn into ruchnius. You can quickly turn it into avodas Hashem. On the one hand, we can say many different ways, depending what it is. Very, very Jewish way of life is that you earned $10,000, give $1,000 to tzedakah. What have you done now? You've turned the whole $10,000 into a means of doing a mitzvah, right? The whole thing now became a means of doing a mitzvah. Now, that earning was a stroke of good luck, but all kinds of other things. You had a baby, make a bris.